If you would turn with John chapter 12, we're going to be going to that portion of scripture this morning. And as you're turning there, would you just bow your head with me? Father God, as we come into this Palm Sunday season and working towards Resurrection Sunday next week, Lord God, would you minister to us? Would you have our hearts open to not only a familiar portion of Scripture, but Lord God, would our hearts be open to receive the anointing that comes as we hear your message of Passion Week, as we move towards the resurrection and see because of what you've done for us that we have salvation, that we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that we have hope that is greater than the things that we go through in everyday life right now. May we see that, may we live it, may we experience it, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'm asking you that, you know, we're in the week of Passion Week, and again, I encourage you that on Thursday and Friday to just some point in either one of those days to find just a moment to get alone with the Lord and have a time of prayer, and as we work through this, I want you to understand that this kind of week, this week brings so much. As you're looking at the scripture, it brings a time of compassion. It brings a time of popularity. It brings a time that we saw, and the worship team did a reading about the praise of the Lord as he came in. There's a time of prayer where we see Jesus at Gethsemane. We see conflict. We see relational issues. We see a time of reflection. We see a time of betrayal. We see agony. We see suffering. We see death, and we see a time of darkness, and we see all of these things leading up to the day of resurrection. And I want you to know that would make a good movie, wouldn't it? If you're thinking about all the different plots, and if you know you've seen the Jesus Passion Week, there, it's not that there's not a lot of things going on. There is. And we pick up the text this morning where Jesus has gained that popularity, and we see that the people loved him, and then the building of the hatred between the Pharisees. The people thought that Jesus was going to be their redeemer, that he was going to come and he was going to stop the oppression that the Romans were giving them, that they thought that they were going to finally break free, and the Pharisees hated him because they thought that he was a blasphemer of God, that he dared to say that he was the Son of God, dared to say that he was the Messiah, dared to say that he was the one that they were prophesizing earlier about. And in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus had a lot of followers because of the raising of Lazarus. That a lot of people were following for the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and they followed him, praising him, and believed that he was going to save the people. And the high priest hated him because they actually, scripture tells us in John 11, that they actually planned to kill Lazarus because people were checking him out and people were seeing these signs and wonders. And Caiaphas, the high priest, says in chapter 11, he says, "What are we accomplishing? Here's a man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." And if you read over that, and it's such a familiar verse that a lot of times you can miss it, but if you read that verse, if you let him go on like this, everyone will believe on him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. They hated Jesus because they felt like they had a good thing going on, and they didn't want this Jesus to wreck it. They didn't want him to spoil it. So we see in John chapter 12, the entering of Jesus into Jerusalem. John chapter 12, starting at verse 12, reading over to verse 19. "The next day the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This, folks, I believe would be a ticker tape parade, don't you think? If you had stopped and you thought about it, this would be a ticker tape parade that would be in New York. They were acknowledging Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They were waving palms. They were shouting. They were excited. They had an expectation that Jesus was going to do these things that they had in their mind that he was going to do. People were throwing garments down. They were yelling this Hosanna. They were blessing the Lord. They were, you know, encouraging the Lord. And here's the great thing. And if I want to just kind of throw it out there this morning, you know, we've heard the story about Jesus coming in Jerusalem so much. Today I thought I'd look at it from the donkey. I thought I'd look at it from the donkey. Here, all of these things are going on, and they're excited, and they're praising, and they're expectation, and that this Jesus, this Savior was going to come, beat Rome, and beat all the things that were going on and oppressing them. Then Jesus rode in on a donkey. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the expectation of this powerful person coming, this powerful man that was supposed to come and do this, and he comes riding in on a donkey? I believe they were devastated. I believe they were devastated. I as a kid, when I was a kid back before time, And Sal Bando of the Oakland A's came to Milwaukee. And actually, to tell you how far back I'm going is back even before the Milwaukee Brewers were back. You know, first they started out as the Milwaukee Braves, and they came back in the 70s as the Brewers. I'm saying even before the Brewers came back, when the White Sox used to play some of their games in Milwaukee, I'm sitting there, and I'm excited because Sal Bando, the Golden Glove third baseman of the Oakland A's, was going to be there. And I waited till after the game. I wanted his autograph, and I was excited to wait cheerfully. And after a long wait of him getting a shower and doing all whatever he was doing, he comes out. He's got this cigarette hanging from his mouth, and he begins signing autographs. And I'm telling you, as a kid, the role model that I had created in my mind, and when he came out with this cigarette dangling from his mouth and started signing autographs, I can only imagine, because that was a letdown for me at that time. I'm only imagining Jesus coming in on a donkey, that as all that expectation, all the hype, everything that they had expected, and here comes Jesus on this donkey. That must have been how they felt. That must have been how they felt that this would-be king of Israel would dare come in riding on a donkey. Now, I could see him coming in on a stallion, a white stallion or a black stallion. Didn't matter, but the majesty of him coming in on a stallion would have been good. A well-groomed, bigger than life, maybe that would have been okay. Even a chariot, even if he would have took a chariot from one of the Roman soldiers and came in on that, would have been good. But to come in on a donkey had to have let them down, that his first public appearance of being the Messiah was Jesus coming in on a donkey. It can't be, would be all that I can imagine them saying, but it is. They didn't like it, but it was the fulfillment of prophecy. First of all, I need to tell you that Jesus doesn't always do what we want, amen? Jesus doesn't always do how we think he should do. Jesus does and did right here what the Heavenly Father wanted. makes me kind of think that if the Messiah, the Son of the living God, could come in on a donkey, maybe we ought to get off our high horse a little bit. Amen? Amen. Maybe we ought to rethink this a little bit. And the third thing I'm looking at, first of all, you know, Jesus isn't going to do what we want him to do. If Jesus could come in on a donkey, then maybe we ought to get off the high horse. And the third thing is, that gives me hope. That if Jesus could use a donkey, you know where I'm going with it. If Jesus could use a donkey, how much more could he use us? How much more could he use a willing vessel? I'm just crazy enough to believe that Jesus, in all of his preparation time, of everything that he did, that he might want to use us too. Amen? Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey because it was a fulfillment of the prophecy. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. All this preparation time and all this thing. And I thought it was funny. Last year during our community day, we had a whole bunch of animals here. We had a petting thing out in the front and some animals walking around. And they had a donkey that was here. You remember? They had a donkey that was here and he was in training. He was being trained to get around people. He was being trained that they could put someone on his back so that he could ride Jesus into the passion play for this year. And I was excited because just last week I went to the passion play. I know the donkey that brought Jesus into Jerusalem. And I was excited for that. And I thought, this is pretty cool. That, you know, I know that donkey. I've petted that donkey. I actually walk with that donkey around the back of the church. And I think that's exciting. And God is a God of order. And I believe God is a God of sense of humor. Say amen. Ever been in that circumstance where God uses you and you think, God, you could have used anyone else. Why would you use me? And just a still, small voice sometimes says, because I can. Because I did. And God is one who will do what he says he's going to do. He said that he was going to ride in on a donkey, and that's exactly what he did. And the things that made Jesus ready are the same things that makes us ready for service. Amen? Makes us ready to do. And we can learn some things from this famous donkey. So, you know, how could God use a donkey? Because he's God. Because he wanted to. Because he said he would. It's how he chose to bring Jesus in. So here's the first thing. If you're taking notes, the first thing is Jesus was selected by God the Father. We're selected by Jesus to do things. The donkey was selected to be used. Scripture says, as they approached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village ahead of you and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Clearly, the Lord had taken care of some things earlier. It probably wouldn't have been good for Jesus and his disciples to be arrested for stealing the donkey that would bring the Messiah into the Jerusalem. Even the donkey had noble cause. So how much more does God want for us? Let me give you three quick points here of what we can learn from the donkey. That we're selected by God, we're sanctified by God, and that we should be satisfied that God wants to use us. See, the donkey became a vessel that God decided to use. He used them to go into Jerusalem. He could have used anyone, anything that he wanted, but he chose to use the donkey to fulfill Scripture. He came by donkey. That donkey was set aside for noble purposes. Anybody feeling like maybe God has a word for us today? If he can prearrange the use of a donkey, how much does he want to use us? If his plan was to go to the cross, and that plan couldn't be stopped, and he won't quit until he starts and finishes what he says he's going to do, how much more does he want to do in our lives? That donkey was prepared to carry the load of Jesus Christ. When God calls us to do something, he prepares us to carry the load that he gives us. Should be an amen there. I picture the donkey where that cart is like flying up in the air and the donkey's like raised up off the ground. Sometimes that's the way we feel. 550 years after Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would come on a donkey, we see it fulfilled. 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we still see that God has a plan and that he's going to fulfill it. And God has a plan for you and I, and he's going to fulfill it. The second thing is sanctified by God. Gospel of Mark records, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Now maybe if you're just reading through that, a whole quick passage there, I don't know if you caught it, but you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. I don't know about you, but that tells me a whole lot of stuff in that one sentence. That tells me that I probably don't want to jump on that donkey. And I don't want to be walked around by a donkey that has never had anyone ridden on it. Donkeys are stubborn. They don't like to be told what to do. Makes me think of my Petey, my Westie. Now those of you that know this dog, you can tell. I want you to know something. That dog listens super well. That dog is probably the best dog I've ever had. If he wants to listen, he will do what you ask him to do. At times, if he wants to, and if I see him and I'll call him, he will run at me like we've been gone for a year, even though it's been a few minutes. But I also want you to know this. If that dog does not want to come to you, he will look you right in the eye. He will look you right in the eye and turn the other way. So I'm telling you, it's not that he didn't understand what I said. He will look at me, he will acknowledge that he heard me, and he will go the other way if he chooses to. So when I see this, that says you will find a colt there which no one has ever ridden, that tells me only Jesus would get on that donkey and make it work, because I pictured this donkey going off in a tangent, running in a way that would just be ugly. So a donkey that has never been trained would be a disaster waiting to happen. That donkey was sanctified and set apart. Do you understand what sanctification is? It's set apart for a purpose. Our purpose as a sanctified believer is to acknowledge Jesus Christ, be right with God, the desire not to sin. And so when this donkey was set apart, it didn't matter that in his nature was to just be a beast and run and do his own thing. He was set apart that he was going to carry Jesus into Jerusalem. He was set apart for the task. Are you getting this? We are set apart for a task. We are sanctified for the purpose of God. We are to carry the things that God tells us where God wants us to take them. Just as Jesus went to the cross faithful, we are to be faithful followers of Christ. Amen? We don't hear much about sanctification, because when we talk about sanctification and talking about being set apart, we know that in that being set apart, that we have to get rid of that donkey nature. We have to get rid of that peaty nature at times that would cause us to want to do our own things. And it doesn't mean that the Lord would have to break us, except in the fact that our old self won't do what we're supposed to do. So at times he does have to break us. And at times he has to show us and to lead us and guide us. We must, and most people don't want to be set apart. Scripture says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We must be separated from the world's thinking. We must have a desire to be set apart. We must have a desire to please God over what we're going on and in through our lives in this world. in our time of prayer, we should be seeking God. In our time of purpose, we should be asking God, what is our purpose and what do you want out of our lives? The reading of our word should be desiring and seeking God to give us direction in a time that is set aside for him to speak to our lives. And the last thing that I want to talk to you about this donkey is that he was satisfied being the donkey. Can you say amen to that? I'm losing it. He was satisfied being the donkey. He was okay that he wasn't a white stallion. He was okay that he wasn't the black horse or the knight that was coming. He was satisfied. God could have used the chariot. God could have used of all these things, but he intended to use a donkey. It was his first choice. You say, well, maybe he didn't find a stallion. Maybe he didn't have this. Maybe he couldn't find a chariot. No, it was his first choice to use that donkey. Timothy tells us that we need to present ourselves to God. And I'm telling you, humble people get used by God. Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself to come to this dirty old world and rode in on a donkey to begin his journey to the cross. How humble should we be? How humble should I be? When we see what Christ has done, sometimes we think because we've been a Christian for a long time that brings us up in the pecking order and, nope, that's not my job. Our job is not to exalt ourselves. Our job is to exalt Christ. You and I have been given a task. It's to lift up Jesus Christ. Maybe we shouldn't pick and choose so much what jobs we're willing to do for the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Maybe we should not be so picky as to what jobs we will or won't do for the Lord. That smelly donkey had a pretty important job. He was one that brought Jesus into the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, all these people began, and I'm wrapping up, all these people began to throw their cloaks down. All these people began to go, Hosanna, Hosanna, and giving God praise. But the scripture tells us that Jesus' feet never touched the ground. He rode in under that donkey. So the donkey was the one riding in on these people's clothes and their garments. That foolish donkey could have thought that ticker tape parade was for him. When you stop and you think about it, he was the one that was riding in. He was the one setting down on people's garments. But it would have been foolish for the donkey to think that that parade was for him. And it would be the same for you and I to think that as servants of Christ, it would be foolish to believe that we could have those blessings that are supposed to be given to the Lord, the praise that is supposed to be given to the Lord. We honor Christ in our lives for what he has done. So in closing, the meaning of life for a believer is found in Christ. Everyone who was lined across and looking at Jesus coming into that street was there for a different reason. Some were swinging the palms and cheering Hosanna, and they thought that Jesus would defeat the Romans. They were wrong. Some of them thought that they were following Jesus and his miracles and what he could do for them, but they were wrong. Only the ones that were there on the road celebrating him as being the Son of God and the Messiah would have it right. Genuine followers is what Jesus is looking for. Only Jesus knew why he was heading down that path, and he was heading to die. And he wasn't going to let anything stop him from doing that. And this morning, just take a moment and help me worship Jesus. Can you say amen to that? We ought to be worshiping the Lord. We ought to be thankful for what he's doing. We must not be forgetting that each one of us has a part in the plan of God in our lives and fit into the kingdom and what that looks like for each one of us. And I'll end this way. The old gray mare may not be what she used to be, but God still has a plan for us. Amen? Amen. Would you just bow your head with me? Father, we thank you this morning. This morning, we got to get a lesson from a donkey. Today, we got to get a lesson on your plan is not going to be stopped. Today, we got to get a lesson that each one of us has a part in kingdom work. Each one of us, whether we're older or younger, each one of us has a part if we'll only allow God to be able to use us. Each one of us, Lord God, should be excited yelling, Hosanna in the highest, and not a few days later yelling, crucify him, making sure that our hearts are right. Lord God, that's my prayer this morning, that this week as we go into Passion Week, that we would go back through the scriptures, that we would spend time reading your word, experiencing it, and asking you, Lord God, to give us a fresh look at a familiar story, at a fresh look at what you've done for us, that we might experience the resurrection new every day. Thankful for your goodness, thankful for your mercy and your grace. And I ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.